Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, NXT Review.
Welcome everybody to Wrestling to the Max's NXT Review for July 5th, 2017. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place to go find all your wrestling needs and of course a lot more. Plus, hey, if you love everything over there, you want to go ahead and check out 411 Mania. Also, they're also a great site to go check out. Lots of great wrestling content. Both sites are a lot of fun, amazing, so go check them both out. Also, don't forget, hey, if you want to go subscribe, rate and review for us, make sure you go check out Wrestling to the Max. And if you love everything that we have to offer there over at W2Mnet.com, make sure you go subscribe at Wrestling to the Max is basically family, which is the W2M Network. So go check that out and join and make sure you go and rate and review there as well. We appreciate all you guys that have already done it. It's been really cool to see all the responses we've had, but hey, we'll take more. But anyway, guys, well, I am Gary Vaughn, and of course, your host tonight is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, I am sounding better than I was earlier this week, so I am glad that NXT will not sound like this. Okay? So,
you weren't that here. Bad.
I honestly felt like I was that bad, but I'm at least glad to be here about 70-80% better, you know? So hopefully it'll be easier on the ears for people. Of course, we got some interesting stuff to talk about here on NXT tonight.
Yeah, in a bit of a shorter episode for us maybe this go-around, because there's just not a whole lot to talk to, because they dedicate most of this time to wrestling. Obviously, they have the big title match on this week's episode, but they do open with Sanity, Alexander Wolfe, and Killian Dane taking on the team, the pairing, I guess, because they're not really a team, that's had some trouble in Paradise lately with Hideo Itami and Cassius Ohno. And this is an interesting match, because I think Hideo does a lot of the legwork, right? And then Cassius sort of gets distracted here or there. And as much as Cassius really wants to keep fighting Sanity, he can't really seem to get out of his own way and help Hideo here. There's just a lot of really good storytelling. This ends with Sanity proving to be the stronger team when Wolf ends up taking the GTS while Killian Dane is legal. And then Dane just squashes Itami with the running splash to get the victory for his team. And I don't see this ending well for Cassius Ohno, Gary.
Yeah, you know, but really, what has ended well for Cassius Ohno since he's been back? I mean, I don't understand it completely. I really don't, and maybe I'm missing the bigger picture for him, but I look at these type of finishes as being, okay, well, we have an excuse, right? It was, you know, Killian Dane getting the sneak tag end on Wolf, and so it made him legal, and that gave the Sanity the victory, but, you know, Cassius Ohno still doesn't win. And I think at the end of the day, if people are like me, I remember the losses more than I do the underhanded ways for him to lose. You know what I mean? And I think that's not a great deal, especially for a guy that you've been pumping up to be this really awesome wrestler. All the people that pay attention to the indies know he's an amazing wrestler. They just don't see it on NXT. It's not proven even in storyline. So I think that's an issue. I worry about that. And this future stuff with Hideo Itami, I kind of look forward to it, to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a great feud. But at the same time, I still see it coming up empty for Cassius Ohno. I still see Hideo Itami being the guy they want to push to that next level. And I just don't fully understand it, Paul. It just kind of boggles my mind.
They brought in Cassius as a big deal, right? And he's been up and down. and maybe more down, honestly. And that's just because I think he's waiting his turn, right? I mean, there's so many... We talk about this a lot on NXT, at least, Gary, is that there's just so much talent on the roster in NXT, and trying to find spots and places to put people and make sure they matter doesn't always happen because they have the one-hour show a week. You have your takeover specials every other month or so, and that's really about it. So trying to make these guys feel important, there's like a pecking order almost. It's very, very old school in that you have so many people you're trying to push, and Cassius, I just don't think's on that list right now in a way, right? Because Hideo Itami has obviously been treated like very big time, and if he hadn't been hurt so often, he might actually be the big star that they've wanted him to be the entire time he's been here. And now they're kind of having these two work together, and what should be a dream match whenever these two finally do come to blows one-on-one, right? I mean, Chris Hero and Hideo Itami, or Kenta, or whatever you want to call these guys, they're just two phenomenal wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I really like this segment, though. I think it gives Hideo something to grab onto more than just, hey, we don't like each other. Now he has a little bit more of a reason, right? And that Cassius is so scatterbrained, and he's so laser-focused. And that's where the opposites are going to attract. And obviously, Hideo's going to have to be the dirty heel here, because that's what it feels like this is going. Maybe attack Ono and coming up soon. But, I mean, maybe they drag this out all the way to the Dusty Rhodes Classic or something like that, you know? Like, I mean, I just, with so many people, like I said, pecking orders, and when this actually pulls the trigger, you never know.
Yeah. And you're not wrong on that, and I see that point. I really do, and I think that there's a yin and yang to this, right? There's the positive part of this where it's like, man, at least he's around us. At least we get to see him week in and week out. This isn't a guy that they kind of put on for every four NXTs you're watching, one to two. I mean, at least he's doing something. They got him in the ring. I mean, all those are very positive things. On the other side of that, though, you look at the fact that him losing and not really coming out and looking strong, I fear that, you know, some people may look at him and say, oh, it's just someone I just don't care about anymore. And, you know, if you look on the main roster with Bray Wyatt, we talk about this every week about how the fact that he's the guy that never wins. He talks a big game. People pump him up. He's in the main event picture, but he's like it's weird to say this. You know how they always say this guy is the hairdresser to the stars, or this guy or gal is the, you know, the sidekick to the stars. Well, I kind of look at Bray Wyatt as the jobber to the stars, and I don't want Cassius Ohno in that same mindset. I want him to be better. But, you know, to your point, there is that pecking order, and also for the fact that, you know, you've got a great matchup here with two guys that you're going to put on excellent matches whenever they get in the ring. I think that's a positive in general, and I think that that could really maybe help Cassius for the fact that even if he doesn't win, they put on such a great match that, you know, he doesn't need to be the guy that wins. He can just kind of win by proxy. So I think all that's great, and I'm really happy that we still have him at least doing things. And I think Hideo Itami on that other side of the, you know, the mat here, I look at him and I think to myself, you know, he's at least getting to be what they want him to be. He's getting to kind of get some momentum. Let's just hope he does stay healthy and continue that, because I really do see him as a guy that could possibly be holding that NXT championship, and I think he's closer to getting there. But I don't know how soon. So I like both those guys. And Sanity, they're kind of coming out from what they were, right? I mean, we've seen Sanity for a minute here kind of take the back seat, kind of be the losing people, because I'm including also Nikki Cross a part of that. They've been kind of all losing, and Eric Young included. So you're at least getting to see them come back, and I think that's a very good positive for those in that faction.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, too, like the live, and this might have been towards the end of the taping, for sure, but the crowd was just, they weren't very loud for either Hideo or Cassius, and they weren't very loud during the match either. So, like I said, it might have just been at the point of the tapings where they really wanted something great, and they got story and something that wasn't really focused on having a great match, which you know, it's going to happen. And to that end, too, you know, I mean, there's only so many spots, right? And as much as I love these guys, you know, if they have a breakout performance against each other, I mean, it's going to do them a world of good to where we may not even be thinking about all the times they lost. The same could be said for Sanity, too. So,
yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Then we get to all the promos and stuff before we get to our main event. So Ember Moon is interviewed in the Performance Center. She's obviously training, ready to make her big comeback from the injury. And she is still laser-focused on challenging Asuka one more time. Ruby Riott shows up and tells her, no, you know what? You had your turn. Nikki Cross has had her turn. Now it's my turn. And she's sort of ready to get her own shot, and she thinks she should be next in line. On Twitter or Instagram, one of the two, Asuka showed herself on a beach somewhere and says she'll come back to NXT when they have a worthy challenger. So I don't know if that's Ruby Riott or maybe the winner of the Mae Young Classic is going to get an NXT championship shot, or how any of this is going to work going forward. But one, it looks like we might not see Asuka on TV for a little bit. And two, I mean, who the heck is worthy challenger anymore, Gary, right? I mean, she's murdered everybody.
Exactly. And that's the big question here. And is it really going to be Ember Moon? I mean, because that's, you know, you've talked about it plenty of times. I think all of us have kind of said, you know, that would be basically probably the most sensible person to do it. And only because of the fact that she has come in, she's come in to look strong. At the same point, though, I think Asuka's become just this another level of a person, wrestler, everything overall. And she's almost like a legend now. It's kind of funny to say that. I mean, this is NXT. This is a place that people don't just hang around. But she's kind of become a legend in this promotion, NXT, whatever you want to call it, this show. And I look at the fact that, I mean, Ember Moon's great. I think that she at least has some, you know, pretty reputable talent in the ring. She's got a bit of a personality. I think that's a part that she's still got to work on a little bit more. But overall, I think that at least this is an even playing field for everybody. I think Ruby Riott comes and makes a great point here in this promo that, hey, you know what? You forget, you know, while you were out rehabbing, I was in there battling her along with Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross got her singles opportunity. It's my turn. You can come in after that, and hopefully you'll be facing me. I think that's what she was kind of getting across here. So I think that was good. I think that, you know, they're all kind of on an equal playing field except Asuka. And Ember Moon's going to need a lot more from me on my end, because I think that to build her to that point where I'm going to believe that she's going to beat Asuka, they've got to do a lot more build. I just don't feel it right now.
The injury certainly didn't help things. And they had that great match at TakeOver earlier this year to where we've seen a couple of these girls look like they could hang, right? Ember Moon's one, at least as far as the ring work goes. I'm with you. She needs more mic work, for sure. And it looks like in these pre-tape things, she's getting much more confident, which is great. But we need to see her, I think, some more in front of a live mic. Nikki Cross looks like the entire package, right? We see all her push Asuka to the limit last week, which they do highlight for you next, so that takes care of the next segment, too. But that match was phenomenal. And Nikki really looked like she deserved to be champion, or at least continue to be in the hunt for it, despite Asuka being the murderess that she is, so... You know, I don't know where you go, but needless to say, I'm intrigued. This next month and building up to Brooklyn 3 should really be a fun ride, just because we got to figure out who is going to be worthy to challenge Asuka, right? I really hope this gets a big storyline deal. This could be huge for whoever, not only whoever beats her, but just people associated with it, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, like you're saying here, I think it's not only exciting, but it's also building so many people going forward.
Right.
And Nikki Cross, I mean, think of the way that they built her so far. They really worked hard on showcasing that she, right there, like you said, hanged right with Asuka. It took a lot of damage before she went down. A lot of damage. And, you know, if they could have bled, they would have done it. And they're not allowed to, but if they would, they definitely would have done it in that match. So now you come into this looking at Nikki Cross as a contender, someone you believe is a dangerous person. I think Ruby Riott needs this opportunity against Asuka, needs to prove herself. And I think if they do just like they did with Nikki Cross, across another contender. And then I think Ember Moon being the next in line, I think it just sets your division up to where it needs to be. Because let's be honest, we haven't seen the division be like it once was, right? It's not the same as Bayley and Sasha and those folks. It's just not there. So they're working towards it. And I think they're doing a fine job. Mm-hmm. I'm like you. I'm a little excited about what we're going to see next.
I absolutely agree with you. I mean, it took time. Those four women had to earn their spots on the card. They certainly did, and then proved why they earned them, why they should keep them, and why they're going to be a huge success, and why they have been a huge success on the main roster so far. And it's just sort of building up, furthering that road that they paved for the rest of these women. And Asuka certainly has hit it out of the ballpark so far. And, I mean, they really got lucky with her coming in and being such a hit that she is, that you have a great platform now to try to establish so many other women behind her and maybe next to her and hopefully pass, you know, surpass her. And I'm so interested in this. It's incredible. So and it's such light storytelling too, is what always fascinates me too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, and it's kind of funny because they're not really the central part of NXT for the most part. They really, even though the main event, they just don't get a lot of time per se, unless it's spread around the show. So, like you said, it's light storytelling, but I think once again they've done a great job in making you care with not so much. So, absolutely. Very happy with all of that.
Yeah, for sure. I guess just to finish out the rest of the women's segment here, Peyton Royce and Billie Kay, excuse me, they get some promo time. They're asked about the Mae Young Classic. They don't care about it because they're not in it, which is great. And then they're sort of interrupted in their running down of NXT still as Andrade Cien Almas and Thea Trinidad are arguing in the background. And whenever the interviewer runs up to Andrade to try to figure out who she is, Cien doesn't want to talk about it. He just says she's crazy in Spanish. And then we get some footage of a qualifying match for the Mae Young Classic, as Bianca Belair defeats Aaliyah. You can watch this for free on WWE's YouTube. It's about 8.5 minutes or so. It's not a bad match, honestly. I think you get to see how much Aaliyah's improved. I don't know if I was sold on Bianca Belair here yet, but, I mean, she's got a gimmick and all that in place. It's just, you know, it's going to require some time.
Yeah, and I haven't checked that out, so I would be able to speak on it. But, I mean, that sounds really interesting, and I will go check that out, and hopefully everyone listening will too. So that's fair enough about that. And, you know, I want to say with what we got with Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, I think, you know, it's just something that's always a positive. They do a great job being in front of the camera and kind of just doing their thing, right? So good stuff with that. Really nothing to really be super special to talk about there. But this Thea Trinidad thing, I think, is very interesting. I like the mystique, the fact that, you know, Almas is kind of arguing and doing this and doing it without really even knowing who he's arguing with. I like that mystique. I really do. And it's going to make, when they finally break the news of who this is, or at least, you know, introduce her to this whole NXT family, I think it's going to be kind of cool. So I'm really, you know, happy with that. It's neat. I mean, they don't really do that much on the main roster, you know, have one thing going and then bring it right to the next. They just don't do that. So this is one of those nice things that they do in NXT. It's kind of cool.
I completely agree with you. And Thea Trinidad with the storyline, like you said, the mystery woman, it's already made Almas infinitely more interesting, so I'm really excited to see where this goes, for sure.
Yep.
Rewinding a little bit here, we get a Drew McIntyre hype video talking about how he signed with NXT, how he has the NXT championship in his sights, and how he wants to be the next one up to challenge Mr. Rude, or Roderick Strong, obviously, because we don't know who won that match yet. And then we get a video showing off Ciampa's turn on Gargano, and then the announcement that Mr. Johnny Wrestling himself will be on NXT next week, making his grand return. Man, Gary, I'm super excited about that.
Oh, I know you are. And, you know, my guy has already done his thing. He's already been on NXT, you know, so we know he's gone for, sadly, a long while. Oh. But I know. I don't even want to talk about that. But we'll talk about Johnny Wrestling. You know, this is really great, and I'm glad that they, you know, made this known that he'll be on next week's NXT. So now you have definitely reason to get back in and tune in to the NXT and find out what he has to say. And I think a lot of us are really excited about hearing and seeing what he's going to do, right?
Right.
I think that's something that we've been waiting for a while now. So that's super cool. And there's just so much just to kind of wrap your head around. And so that's good. Very happy with that overall. Not much I think I could say more than that. So, and you know, you talked about Drew McIntyre, and I definitely want to talk about Drew McIntyre for a multitude of reasons, but I'll just kind of stick to this. You know, he's doing a great job really presenting himself well. You know, we've seen him come in and be, you know, unbeatable, right? He's just been that superstar that you're just like, wow. I mean, yes, we've seen him before, but man, he is stronger. He's more intelligent. He's got all this about him. And in, you know, this promo, he's just talking about the fact that, you know, he's trying to get in the mix because he knows where that NXT title will take you. Mm-hmm. And that I love. I can't say that enough. You know, some people see the NXT title and just say, oh, that's the developmental title. No, that's a very important title. Most of the people that have held it, like he said, have gone on and made their presence known on the main roster. And so that is super awesome. I'm glad he really put the belt over that way. As much as I love Bobby Roode, I don't know that Bobby Roode so far has just put that belt over the moon for anybody. He's great at holding it. I love him. But I don't think he puts enough significance on it. And that's not his character. His character is not going to be about the title. It's going to be about himself. Whereas Drew McIntyre, that's his goal right now. He's putting the title over. And not only that, with Drew McIntyre, another guy that we see in that long line of people that are going to get a shot at that title. Mm-hmm. And at least with him, he's been coming in and winning, but we haven't seen him every single week, but we've got to see him a lot of weeks. And I'm just thrilled. I'm ready to see him more. I want to see him get his title shot, but I like he said, his promo, he's biding his time till he gets his shot.
I don't think I could have said it better. So we'll just move along to the main event, which they do a great job of hyping up throughout this episode as building up that big fight feel. Roderick Strong finally getting his opportunity. All of his family's here, his wife, his kid, his fiance, and his mother. Bobby Roode is obviously as big on the pomp and circumstance as ever. These guys get about 18 minutes. This is an absolutely phenomenal match. Right up there with, I think, every single title match Bobby Roode has had so far has just been top-notch, for sure. I mean, maybe outside of Cassius Ohno, which was a little bit below the standard he's set so far, but I don't know. I mean, for sure the championship is a prop for Bobby, and it's definitely, look, I'm the best around here because of me. You know, it's not the title. I'm not here to make the title. The title is definitely just here to make me look better, and that's great. I mean, Bobby Roode is just phenomenal in his role. Roderick Strong, the plucky babyface, gets tons of hope spots, even goes so far as to actually get the victory, 1-2-3, except Bobby Roode's foot was underneath the bottom rope, so the referee catches it after he finishes the count, has to wave off the finish. Roderick Strong's fiance is all kinds of pissed off. Roode attacks him from behind, beats him up some more, hits another big DDT, and then just puts him away after that. 1-2-3, Bobby Roode's still your world champion. This, however, is probably far, far, far from over because, I mean, you know, Roderick kind of, sort of, not really beat him, but, you know, this is going to be a reason to go back and forth for a while.
Yeah, it is, and it's going to make Regal's presence known in this whole thing. And, you know, he's going to come out and say, look, I know you think you're over with this, Bobby, but sorry, Roddy still gets another shot because he really... It proved it. He could beat you. It's just that you had your foot under the rope, so, you know, that's what happened. So I think that you're right. There will be much more to this feud. I'm really looking forward to it. And I like the fact that they made sure that they had his family ringside for this match and really made it a big deal. It's just a regular episode of NXT. We're not talking about a takeover. We're not talking about a Saturday night special. We're talking about a regular episode of NXT. That's great. It's really cool that they did that, and that means something super special, and it also adds so much to the storyline, because really the family has been a big part of the storyline and what's been going on between Bobby Roode and the way he's kind of reacted to all Roddy's stuff. So I think you got a great match here. You really should expect that. I mean, both these guys are amazing. I'm a huge fan of both of them. Bobby Roode is one of my favorites, and Roddy is just so amazing. I don't want to speak to another name, but you know, I always say, you know, how I used to love Chris Benoit for the different reasons, and it wasn't because he was the biggest guy in the room or that he had the biggest voice. It's just because of skills. And I look at Roderick Strong as the same way. May not be the biggest voice, may not have the biggest or the best look, but man, he's so talented. I love him, and I want him to win every single thing he can. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to get a lot of fans. Well, we've already seen that, but I think even more fans on the main roster who don't even know this guy. I think those casual fans over there will be really digging him later on when he gets to that point. The one thing I will say is, and I have to ask you this question just because it's kind of funny, and it has nothing to do with those two guys. It has to do with his fiance and his mom. I thought it was kind of interesting the way that they really did focus so much on them as this match progressed, right? And another part of the story, it makes me wonder how much information they had going into this, right? I always think about that. Do they know what's going to happen? Because maybe they don't tell them, that way their reactions are more natural, or maybe they know, maybe they, I don't know. I always kind of have that thought in my mind.
You know, if it were me, I wouldn't tell them. like you said, the genuine reaction is the best. I think the fiance kind of knew, though, because once Robbie was out there celebrating with her and all that good stuff, like, I mean, the only thing, maybe she didn't know, because the only thing she could come back and tell Bobby while he was beating the crap out of Roderick in front of him after the false finish was, "You're a cheater," and then he just doesn't care and plants Roderick with a glorious DDT on the floor right out in front of their faces. I mean, Bobby Roode is maybe the best heel on television right now, but Roderick Strong, I'm with you on the praise for him, too, but if it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't tell the family if it were me to answer your question.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same way. I wouldn't tell them. In fact, I would want that natural feeling. And I think that probably went into this. I kind of got the idea, like you, when she kept calling Bobby Roode a cheater and all that, I said, she just doesn't have that comeback. She just kind of, you know, why is this happening? She's trying to make in her mind why they did this at the same time as yelling out. So, and I'm sure Roddy probably said, "Hey, if you have any reactions, just react to the match. You know, do me a favor, react somehow." Yeah. And that's probably what happened, right? So I'm glad to see all that. And I think overall, this had a decent enough of a big fight feel, right? Because we were looking forward to this match, and I think both guys did a wonderful job. Bobby Roode is still your champion. He's still as heelish as ever. People are hating him because Roddy, the babyface that everybody kind of loves and roots for, just got cheated again. So this is exciting. It's a lot of great stuff to look forward to, man.
I completely agree with you. That does it for NXT this week, though. I mean, what an episode. Go watch that main event. It is... If it wasn't for New Japan absolutely just crushing everybody this weekend with the G1 specials, this match would be much higher rated for sure.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. And, of course, hey, if you want to find out where we rank this possibly, make sure you check out our Wrestling to the Max episode this week, 254 Part 2. We'll be doing a Superstar of the Week, and I wonder if Roddy's going to make the list. We had a lot of great stuff happen this past weekend, so he may not, but... or Bobby Roode would probably be the guy. I'm getting my head guys mixed up. But anyway, go check it out. You know, go check out, see if he made the list. I'm really kind of curious myself. We have not discussed that yet. So go check out that episode. We're going to have lots of great content. We're going to be talking some Lucha Underground. We're talking some other great stuff when it comes to maybe some Impact stuff that you haven't heard yet. And, of course, you know, all the great wrestling news this week. Also, just to make sure you don't forget, W2Mnet.com. Make sure you go check it out, 411mania.com. Also, go subscribe, rate, and review at Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. We appreciate all of you. I am Gary Vaughn. He is Paul Leeser, and we will catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.